Well, good morning. So we have a large group of guests with us, you might have noticed, from Fall Fun Fest from the diocese. So if you guys raise your hands, they all know. I mean, you have shirts on, so it's kind of obvious. So these are youth and adult leaders from across the diocese in Kansas and maybe a little further out. And we're really grateful to have you here with us today worshiping, and certainly really grateful to have you here using our space. We built the parish hall a couple of years ago just so we could have events like this here. So you're helping us to fulfill our vision. So we're really glad you're here, and hope you had a great weekend, and hope you stick around for a little bit and visit. The time of this gospel came up once at my last church at St. Peter's in Conway. There was a gentleman that was worshiping that day that was a part of that congregation. And he came up to me afterwards, and just so you know, his name was Charles Morgan. He was CEO of a company called Axiom. Anybody ever heard of that company? You know about it, whether you've actually, because they're the ones that send you junk mail, okay? They're a database company, and they're really good at finding out data about you. And they can, a company can go to them and say, I want to send mail to 33-year-old, you know, single, this, and they can go, here's a list, right? So this is his thing. And he comes up to me after the service, and he says, you know, Jesus' economy is not going to work, Gar. And he said, if you really tried this in the business world, where you paid everybody who showed up at the last hour of the day the same thing you paid everybody during the day, nobody's going to want to work for you. They're either going to all show up later, or no one's going to show up at all. I'm sure they'll be grateful for the work, but it's just not going to work. And then we had a conversation. He was kind of trying to get me going, and he had that relationship with me. But think about the gospel for just a second and how it doesn't work in some ways, right? If you were to go through an experience like that where you had been the first one to show up and to work all day and someone else came and worked for an hour and they got the same wage as you, would that be fair? Would that be an okay way for people to work in a business? Not necessarily, right? Well, think about how important fairness is to all of us. What if, for the students in here, what if your teacher told you that if you did really well in all your homework throughout the semester, you know, at the end of the semester, your grade is going to be determined by that, and you'll get an A if you get over 90% or whatever it is, and you do really well, but then at the end of the semester comes up and says, okay, we've got one final test, and I've decided that everybody who gets an A on this test, regardless of what you did for your homework, is going to get an A in the class. Would that be fair? Well, if you're the one needing the A because you haven't done your homework, it's fair, right? But if you're the person who's worked hard, it's not. I remember as when I was younger, I would work. I was about 16 years old, and the place that I normally had been working, I couldn't get a job that summer. So I went down and I put my name in at the community we live in. We had a little job fair kind of thing. And so you could go down, you make your application, and then every day you can call them at 7 in the morning in the summer, which is really cruel for a 16-year-old. You call them at 7, you can find out if they have a job for you that day. So sometimes you get a job, and it might be for a whole week or 2 weeks. You might clean somebody's yard. You might go and help, you know, do something like that. Well, this one particular day, I got a job helping somebody move their household. Now, at that time, I weighed about 110 pounds, and I was very small. I was only about 5'7". I hadn't hit my final growth spurt. And I was really strong, but I didn't look it. So I showed up, and we were going to be moving big furniture and all kinds of household items and refrigerators and all this kind of stuff like that. So it was me and 3 football players. So the guy who had hired us all came out, and he looks and says, well, this is going to be interesting. He looks right at me and says, this is going to be really interesting to see how you do. You know, because he wasn't sure, and he was just taking a risk, because it was obviously cheaper for him to hire us for a minimum wage than somebody else. And so we were there, so we start working. Well, I've been working a lot, and it's not that the other guys hadn't, but I kind of had been doing work like that before, and so I kind of knew how to pace myself. So I worked really hard all day, kept up with those guys, and surpassed them in other ways. And they weren't necessarily lazy or anything like that. It's just a difference. I went further than he expected. In fact, I worked longer than they did and kept to make sure some things, and I swept the truck out and all kinds of other stuff like that. And I remember he came up and he gave me a little tip, right? And the football players saw it, but they didn't get the tip. What do you think happened? I'll just let you imagine that. I'm not going to fill the rest of the story. I was given a hard time, right? Because in their mind, they had worked the whole day, and I got a little bit different wage because I worked a little bit harder than they did. It wasn't fair. So fairness is important to us, isn't it? How the world treats us and how things might happen. So what is Jesus getting at in the gospel? What if you're a person who has been a good and faithful Christian your whole life? What if you've gone to church most every Sunday? What if you've participated in Bible studies? What if you've taken to heart the gospel? You live your life ethically. You've made the right choices. You've put your life together. You've worked hard. You've raised a good family. You've done all those things. And you come in on a Sunday, and someone you know who hasn't lived that life, who made a whole lot of other choices, who wasn't ethical, who didn't make good decisions, who had left a wake of ruin, and they come into the church, and the church says to them, God's grace is full. You are forgiven, received, and made whole. Does that appear fair? Maybe not. Maybe not to us, but to God it does. And I think sometimes this is one of the hardest things for those of us in the church and for others outside the church to understand that God's grace is flowing freely. Forgiveness, reconciliation, being made whole is flowing freely to those who would have it at any point in your life. Because we're so used to earning our way, we're so used to the bargaining with God. In the Old Testament lesson, we have Jonah bargaining with God. He's mad at God. Did you catch that? He's not even mad. He's angry at God because God didn't punish Nineveh. Do you know why? Because they didn't listen to what he had to say. They didn't turn from their evil ways. So God teaches Jonah a lesson. He says, oh, it's hot. Here's a bush. Lay under it. Oh, it's nice. Jonah loves the bush. Did you hear that? He loves the shade, the coolness. And then God says, oh, by the way, here's a worm. There's no shade. Jonah says, oh, it's so hot, I could die. And God says, I gave you that shade, and I took it away. It's my decision on what to do to Nineveh, not you. Shouldn't I show grace to them? And in much the same way, Jesus says in this lesson, it's God's decision who to give grace to, not yours. It's God's decision who to show his love towards, not yours. And that's the point of the economy of the story. The master, the owner, is the one who is to be God. And he says, it's my decision to give to all of these people the wage, to give them the gift, to give them grace. I think part of the hard thing is we really do bargain with God and we want to earn our way, right? How many of you were ever taught when you were younger, this is one of the things that I was taught, that if you do something good, you get a star and your crown in heaven? Anybody ever taught that? It's something you tell little kids because it's a good way to kind of help them think about behavior, right? If you do the right thing, you get a star in your crown. You want to earn the stars. And then the funny thing is, when you go to grade school, do you remember those sort of stick-on stars that you would get if you did something good? They have a funny taste if you get them. I don't know if they make them anymore, but if you got lots of stars in your homework, and then, you know, I was getting stars left and right. But the funny thing is you can't earn the grace. In other words, you can do nothing to earn God's grace. It isn't really about that. It isn't about working harder or being a better Christian. It isn't about doing everything. God says you should do that because of the grace you receive, but you can't earn it because it's given freely. God loves you. God forgives you. God is begging for you to reconcile freely, so much so that he gave his son for you. Sometimes I think it's hard for us to see that incredible gift that's before us. Because we get jealous, don't we? We get envious. We think that we've done it right for so long and someone else hasn't. It's hard. It's hard sometimes when we see that grace offered so freely. I think that's what Jonah's kind of stirred up about. And I certainly think it's what the laborers are stirred up about in the story. And then Jesus says in the story, "And the last will be first, and the first will be last." In other words, what we expect, what the world around us tells us is the rules, might not be how God's kingdom works. It might be different and unexpected. So as you go about your life this week, think about the grace that you have been given. Think about the gift of God's love that you can receive. And when you encounter your neighbor or your friend, your coworker, your child, your parent, what if they are receiving the same gift of God's grace that you've been given? And what if your call is not to be jealous or envious or to say that they haven't deserved it, but what if your call is to share and to encourage and to build up and to walk along their faith walk and to help them to understand and receive the same gift of grace that you have? I think that's a whole different way to understand our walk with each other. The grace that God gives us is full. It's free. And it's a gift. But it's up to us to receive it and then to share it with others. Amen.